Good morning, darling Rage Nation. Happy Saturday. As usual, I will give you the weather report in upstate New York. It's cloudy, it's chilly, but I'm not complaining about it because it finally feels like fall and I can wear my leather jacket and I am content. Just give me a leather jacket, combat boots, jeans, beanie. I'm super set. Stoked about that. But anyway, today I wanted to talk about your voice. Yes, we're getting back to that topic. We're going to be talking about it for a few days. There's a lot that I want to unpack about a lot of different things. This morning, just wanted to start off your day with a super quick-ish segment before I go into work. Get your brains going on that, and then I'd like you to leave Collins if you can, and we can continue the conversation. But I wanted to start with the idea of who owns your voice? Who does? Is it, you know, your family? Is it your religious organization? Is it you? Who is it? And be honest with yourself about that. And that might take an unpacking process that may or may not be super uncomfortable. I'm just going to let you know that up front. Because it's a process that I've been going through in my own life, and it's been extremely eye-opening. But who owns your voice? Who gets to say, Molly, you get to say this and not that? Who decides that ultimately? It should be me. It should be you. That's bottom line, honestly. And so I wanted to come in here and remind you of that. If there's ever a situation where you're finding yourself having to apologize for your voice, having to apologize for your thoughts, your opinions, your story, your feelings in the moment, you should never have to apologize for those things. I'm not saying that you never apologize for anything. That's not what I'm saying. Because part of good relationship is, you know, you apologize when you fuck up. That's just part of it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you are in a situation where your voice is being stifled, it's being censored, you feel like, here's a good way to know if that's happening. If you feel like you constantly have to walk on eggshells with someone, or you are going through like a minefield basically in a conversation and having to really pay attention to every little thing you say, or it might all fall apart, or that person might reject you or reject what you're saying. If you feel like you have to be so overly careful that you're spending all of your energy on being careful in a conversation, your voice is not being heard. Your voice is not being respected. That's bottom line, and that's not okay. It isn't. Love, relationships, healthy ones, shouldn't be that difficult all the time. Yes, there's difficulty. Yes, when it comes to family, when it comes to real life stuff, there's things that you have to process through, and that is not comfortable. And you have to just deal with that and lean in. But what I'm talking about is being really careful not to sacrifice your voice for the sake of peace. Not to sacrifice who you are for the sake of someone else's comfort. Because you know what? Here's a hard truth, but it's true. At the end of the day, the only person who has to live with your choices and the way that your life is going is you. It's your freaking life. And if someone has a problem with that, you need to be able to talk about it. You need to be able to voice your opinion, your thoughts, your feelings. And there are also moments when you need to step away. And that's okay too. And we'll talk about that more when we unpack more of this idea of your voice and holding on to it and really owning it. But I just want to remind you today, your voice is your voice. And it's beautiful, and it's a miracle, and it's yours. So I want you to start thinking about that today. Who owns your voice really right now in your life? I'd love to hear your call-ins. I know this is a hard topic, but let's get it, darlings. as a little aside, in case I wasn't clear, I do have to go to work today, so I will be gone for about 8 hours, give or take. I might pop back in here during lunch if I'm able to get signal. But I wanted to leave you with that beginning segment so that you could start to think about it and start to leave me call-ins. If you want to leave call-ins that are private and you don't want me to post them, that's totally fine too. Just add the little PM on there. Just type PM and then whatever else you want. But I would love to hear from you. I would love to talk to you about this, because losing your voice to make other people happy, losing your voice, silencing your voice, censoring your voice for the sake of peace, for the sake of making other people comfortable, is not okay. And in the end, it's only going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt the other person, because that honesty can only stay hidden and buried down deep for so long before it turns into something else, like resentment or rage or conflict or whatever. So I want to get us started talking about this topic. Who owns your voice? And who would you like to own your voice? Hopefully the answer is you and you alone. But I would love to hear from you. Again, I'll be in work for a while, but I will check back in when I can, and definitely will come back in here and record some more segments at the end of the day in the evening time. And I can't wait to hear from you. Until then, rage on, darlings. Hey, hey, I'm back, darlings. How's your day been going so far? So let's dive back into this topic of your voice, and specifically censorship, because I think when we think about censorship, at least for me, a lot of the times, and especially in the past, I thought about, you know, like blacking out things and government and all this like crazy stuff, and censorship by other people, and other people like physically not allowing you to say things. But a lot of times when it comes to your voice and censorship of your own voice, that can be a lot more subtle and a lot more under the surface. And a lot of times it can be self-inflicted. Isn't that crazy? So let me give you an example of that. Say you are in a relationship with someone, a friendship, whatever, and every time you talk to them, or most times you talk to them, maybe even just about one subject in particular, maybe it's like your spouse, you talk about finances, or maybe it's a friend, you talk about a certain past relationship, or whatever it is, or just in general, you notice that things get a little uncomfortable and maybe even heightened and conflicty when you touch on certain nerves or whatever, and you start to feel like you just would like to keep the peace in that conversation and in that relationship. And so maybe something comes to your mind that you really would like to mention, and you really would like to say, and you feel like you want to say, but you feel like you maybe shouldn't say it because you don't want to make them upset. You don't want to run the risk of them rejecting you. You don't want to start a fight. You don't want to have a conflict, whatever, whatever. You want to keep the peace. That's an example of censorship, self-censorship. And what I'm not saying right now is to just say every little freaking thing that comes to your head when it comes to your head. Like, you need to have accountability for your own thoughts. Like, that's kind of a different piece to this whole puzzle. You can't just say everything all the time and just word vomit and, you know, not be an adult and not be mature and really think about what you're saying. That's important. You know, use your brain. Let's all, you know, use our common sense here. But what I'm saying is, when it's a recurring thing, especially in a particular relationship or a particular situation, and there are things, if there are things that are like taboo or untouchable, or you're feeling like you constantly have to walk on eggshells, that sort of thing, that can become a sort of self-censorship. And a big part of all of this when we're talking about your voice is checking in with yourself and having self-awareness of when that is going on versus when you're just being smart or you're just being kind or whatever, just keeping yourself accountable. Censorship is different than that, in that it takes a lot more energy.
And you might not even realize it's taking a lot of energy, but if your conversations with someone or in a certain context are very tense, you're, again, that feeling of walking on eggshells, that feeling of having to expend a ton of energy just to think about things that you're saying, that there's almost like a performance aspect to it, like that you have to say things a certain way, otherwise things won't go well, I would say that that would be a good time to explore whether or not there is self-censorship going on. And it's not to say, you know, in a relationship, especially when it's a two-way street, that's not completely your fault, especially if there's emotional manipulation, possibly, you know, like emotional abuse type stuff going on. If there are those types of like codependent dynamics going on, sometimes you start self-censoring just to keep yourself safe. And that makes sense from a survival standpoint. But from a relationship standpoint, that shouldn't be the case all the time. So if self-censorship is happening on a regular basis, especially in a relationship where there is a level of intimacy and there should be a level of trust and respect, if there's a lot of self-censorship going on, you need to dig into that. And you need to figure out, start diving into whether or not you really are censoring your voice and whether you're able to be honestly who you truly are. Able to breathe, able to lean into what you want to lean into. So censorship is hard, and it's something that's really important for us to explore when it comes to our own voices. So pulling it back a little bit, self-censorship is a big deal, and that's definitely something that I have started to realize a lot about myself in the last few years. A lot of times it can be really under the surface, and it's something that maybe you don't discover until you start to realize that you've got a lot of resentment and anger. That was the case with me, and I started to unpack those things. And as I started to unpack those things and process them and gain more self-awareness, I suddenly had that 10,000-foot view, you know, that view from above, that realization that in certain situations, I was self-censoring a lot. And there was a lot of my energy that had been going into making sure that I maintained the peace in certain relationships. And I've gotten to a point where I've realized that that's not worth it for me, you know. Brené Brown talks a lot about shame and belonging and all of those things. She's one of my heroes. You should check her out if you don't know who she is. Brené Brown, she's amazing. But in a recent interview that she had with Marie Forleo, she talked about belonging and the fact that belonging, which ties right back into yourself and your voice, having a voice that's respected and heard, that's part of belonging. Because she talks about how the definition of belonging is not actually, hey, I've got a tribe, I've got a gang, I've got a group, I've got these peeps that I'm part of. That's a small part of it, but belonging as a whole is having the openness and the freedom to be a part of a group while also having the courage and the voice to be able to stand alone when you need to, which can be really scary for most of us. I think not many of us have had the opportunity to really lean into standing alone. Unfortunately, a lot of times that type of self-awareness comes out through difficult situations where you're forced to make that choice. But at the same time, it's extremely freeing to get to a place where you are so confident in who you are and your voice and your thoughts and your feelings and where you stand on things. The more self-awareness that you cultivate, the more clear you are in who you are, the more your voice will start to come out, the more you'll recognize it, the more you'll own it. There's a great quote by Maya Angelou, and I might butcher it, so forgive me. should have looked this up beforehand, so apologies, but something that Brené Brown touched on, again, is Maya Angelou talked about that sense of belonging, that to belong is to belong everywhere and nowhere at the same time. And in that interview, the interviewer kind of poked at that a little bit more and was like, hey, what do you really mean by that? Like, are you saying that you belong nowhere? What are you saying? And finally, Maya Angelou came to the place where she just, you know, in that beautifully calm and confident Maya Angelou way, she just said, it means that I belong to Maya. And that's it. And at the end of the day, that's the thing, right? Like, going back to what we talked about before, no one has to live your life besides you. You are the one who lives with your life, your choices, whether you voice what you want to voice or not. You're the one who lives with that. You're the one who will get to the end of your life and have, you know, regrets or not. And all I'm saying is that if you want your voice to be heard, if you want to come fully into the confidence of knowing who you are, it's going to take a lot of self-work. It's going to take a lot of learning about yourself, celebrating yourself, digging into that self-awareness, and getting to know your own voice and really owning that. And it's really important. And if I could have you take anything from today's episode, it would be that you would learn your own voice, respect it enough to ask others to respect it, to put boundaries up, to do what you need to do to have your voice be heard, because you're a freaking miracle. You're amazing, and the world needs what you specifically have to say. So I encourage you to lean into that today. Rage on, darlings.